My name is Bill. I'm one of the pastors here on the staff at Terranova, and I'm excited to be preaching this morning. Thanks for joining us. We want to welcome you, especially if you are new to Terranova. Maybe this is your first time. We're definitely glad you're here. I am excited as I'm preaching this morning in the second part of our three-part mini-series on dating. All right, so when I say that I'm excited about dating, I mean that I'm a little nervous, a little bit out of my element. I met my wife 15 years ago. We've been married for almost 12 years, so dating just has not been on my radar in a while. So as I go about doing this, I want to come humbly to this. I'm not a dating expert. In fact, I don't think I was all that great at it when I was doing it. But by God's grace, my wife, she's just a very good woman. She returned my phone calls, and God worked. So anyway, I do come humbly to this topic. I want to share some relationship principles that I have learned along the way when it comes to dating. Many of these come through my own experiences as a young man, and even getting married, and just what the Lord has taught me through marriage. Some of them have come through my pastoral experiences, times that I've spent in God's Word. But I just want to mention that this morning. If you're here today to find, you know, proven strategies for increasing your dating probability, or seven steps to improve your dating life, I'm probably going to disappoint you today. But I do want to challenge you this morning that I think there's going to be something in this message for all of us here. Maybe you're with me this morning, and you say I'm already married. What does this have to do with me? Maybe you're not quite ready for dating. Maybe you say that's just a few more years off, or maybe you've just totally checked out of dating. Wherever you are in that whole spectrum, I want to encourage you to stick with me today. You might be surprised what the Lord has for you this morning. My challenge for you today is the topic of dating is relevant for all of us as we care for one another within the body of Christ. Think about that for a minute. As a father of four who has been out of the dating scene for nearly a decade and a half, it could be easy for me to check out of a sermon, a discussion like this morning. Until I think about the fact that my eight and a half year old daughter is just a few years away from being a teenager, which is sobering on a whole lot of levels, but certainly when this whole idea of dating. So for dads and moms here this morning of whether it's a teen or a preteen, or just even a really little one this morning, I hope that this is a great resource for you. I hope this is a great resource that might spur some conversations that may need to happen sooner than later. I also want to challenge grandparents here, or people that are empty nesters and you hope to be grandparents someday. You might have opportunities to help your children and grandchildren navigate this whole subject. We know that sort of thing does come up. If you are here and you don't seem to fit any of those categories I threw out there, I just want to challenge you. Maybe the Lord may use you in the life of someone here with Terranova Church, maybe someone in your tribe, your small group, maybe someone that you just are able to meet and build a relationship with here. Maybe the Lord may use you to minister to a young man or young woman, or even someone a little older in life that's going through dating. Don't check out on me too quickly here. As members of the body of Christ, we need to be here or be there to encourage one another. So whether you're hoping to be dating here soon, or you're in the midst of dating right now, or you're way beyond all this, let's look to God's Word today for some principles about how to date. All right, I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles. And by the way, if you didn't get a Bible this morning, if you could raise your hand, we have folks that will be glad to share one with you. Anyone need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. We'd be glad to help you out. If you came here this morning and you didn't have a copy of God's Word, please take this home. We want this to be a gift from us to you, as we want everyone to have their own copy of the Bible with them. All right, let's turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew's that first gospel as we open the New Testament about two-thirds of the way through. Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to be reading through verses 4, 5, and 6, so pretty brief. All right. This is Jesus speaking here in verse 4. He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let man not separate." If you'll pray with me, so we open in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the body of Christ. We thank you that we can assemble here together with your people. We thank you that we can open up your word that's been handed down to us through these thousands of years, Lord. We pray that we can open up these words this morning and find relevance, even in things that were spoken by our Lord and Savior so long ago. Lord, I pray that you would lead this conversation today about dating. Lord, in the midst of this discussion, all these things that we're going to be thinking about today, may we see you, Jesus. Lord, as we know, that is the reason that we live, is to bring glory to you, to show love to you, Lord, to honor you. So we pray in your name, you'd bless us today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, dating. As you can see, I just read a passage of scripture there from Matthew 19, and that had nothing to do with dating, right? That was about marriage, clearly about marriage. Well, I want to start with this passage here where Jesus is quoting from Genesis 2, the creation narrative there, as it reveals quite a bit about how Jesus viewed the relationship between men and women. We see that here that the Lord recognized that guys and girls have been created for a beautiful union together. In his wisdom, God made us uniquely male and female with our wonderful differences, so that we can come together in marriage for a level of intimacy and partnership that's a gift from God. Yeah, I can think of no stronger statement about how the Lord values marriage, his intentions for this wonderful gift of attraction, this wonderful gift of intimacy that he gives us through dating relationships and into marriage. What God has joined together, let man not separate. It's a powerful statement about the beautiful way that God brings together men and women to enjoy each other. With scriptures like this, I believe that when Christians think about dating, when we think about dating, we need to be thinking about it in terms of how it helps us find that marriage partner. How it helps us to find that marriage partner. That's not to say that every date you have has got to be someone that you think you're going to marry, in the sense of you have to have it all figured out ahead of time. All right, I know that there's certainly places where we can have a casual meeting with someone, get together for coffee just to get to know them a little bit better. There's certainly a good place for that, just to see if you might have interest in this person. Nor am I saying that the pursuit of a spouse trumps everything else in life, other pursuits in life. Certainly there are times when a person may sense the Lord is calling them to follow him alone, whether that's for a period of time or for in their entire life. There's certainly a place for that within the body of Christ. My point is that men and women were created with uniqueness in order to come together in this beautiful and extremely challenging thing known as marriage. Passages like this, the words of the Lord here, remind us that he intended for so much more in our lives than just dating for the sake of dating. Just want to start with that thought there. So what does the Bible teach about dating? What's the Bible teach about dating? Well, this probably is not going to come as a surprise if you've spent much time in church or reading the Bible, but there's just not much in the Bible about dating. In fact, you're not going to find the word dating at all. Really, dating is a modern Western phenomenon. This whole way that we view this whole process of meeting that special someone and getting involved in that relationship and hopefully that becoming a permanent relationship. In case of those of us who follow Christ, a marriage relationship. This is something new, this whole idea of dating. The ancients had no concept of the way that we go about meeting that special someone. My point is the Bible doesn't teach us explicitly how to date. You know, if you want to find the seven principles of dating in the scriptures, you're going to struggle. It's not so clearly laid out as we might like. However, God's word gives us plenty of principles about how to follow Christ. How to follow Christ. So as we think about how in the world am I supposed to date, how do I navigate this whole thing we call dating, I want to challenge us that it comes back to living out our faith in Christ, being a follower of Jesus, submitting all areas of my life to Christ. So as I speak this morning, I want to be up front that I believe that a discussion about how Christians should date needs to reflect those obligations that we have as believers, as Christians, to honor the Lord and to care for one another. And maybe that does not sound at all significant, but I'm afraid that modern Western concepts of dating, things that we probably don't even think about, they're just things that we accept as the way things are, those modern concepts that shape our thinking about dating, they've led us to pursue dating relationships, I think in some ways very, very consumeristically. Consumeristic way where where a person can look for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, really not, maybe not so differently than how we shop for other things that we want in life. Too often, dating relationships, even among those of us that would call ourselves Christians, end poorly because they're built on some of those weak foundations. Love that is true, love that is good, is that which resists selfishness and puts the needs of the other person in front of your own. That's the way that the Lord has called us to live. Following Jesus often demands that we rethink how we navigate all areas of life, especially areas like dating and relationships. That's the nature of the gospel. We are called to submit to doing things God's way, to treat others with kindness and respect. In that sense, I can't see how talking about dating for Christians outside the context of living like a disciple of Christ. I can't see how we can divorce those, how we can say we're going to live like a disciple of Christ in all these different areas of life except for how I date. I think there's some incongruency there. That's inconsistent. We have to apply this principle of following Jesus in all areas of our lives. So today I want to focus on five principles that will help you pursue dating relationships in ways that honor God. Pursue dating relationships in ways to honor God and lay that healthy foundation for how the two of you, if the Lord would allow you to come together in a permanent relationship of marriage at some point, the Lord would allow you to seek Christ together. Now, before I do that, I want to mention that these five principles, to some degree they're sequential, but don't think of them too much like that. Now, these are probably five things that we all want to be working on, whether we are at the initial stage of dating when our heart gets all excited when we see somebody, that special someone send us a text or an email, or to where we are as many years into marriage. These are principles that, although they do build on each other, are things we want to be practicing it on a regular basis. All right, so the first principle of when it comes to how to date starts with seeking Christ. To seek Christ. Now, this might sound a bit different, as not many of us would probably say that our first thought when we meet an attractive guy or girl, and we're trying to get their phone number, is boy, I wonder how I can seek Christ in this whole situation right now. That's probably not our first inclination. However, an attitude of submission is what following Jesus is really about. And this isn't easy. By God's grace, we need to be men and women who strive not just to follow the ways that this culture has trained us to live, or not just to respond impulsively and live by our feelings. Jesus calls us to seek him, to follow his example. Well, what's that look like as we seek Christ? What's it look like? Well, I want to challenge, especially for those that may not be dating yet or maybe early in their dating, it really needs to start before the relationship, to seek Christ before the relationship. If you want to seek Christ if you want to date in a way that honors God, in a way that the Lord is going to bless that and hopefully build that a solid foundation on which that relationship can grow in the future, it starts, number one, by finding your identity in Christ. Finding your identity in Christ. If you're looking to date, you got to make sure you're asking yourself, who am I? Who am I? Is my identity based in what others think of me, my social ranking, or what I can accomplish, where I work, how I look, how popular I am? The good news is that that's not the way things work in the kingdom of God. our value is based on Christ's love for us. And he demonstrated that by laying his life down for us. Preparing yourself for dating begins by finding your identity in Christ. So how do you do that? How do we find our identity in Christ? How do we know we're ready for marriage? I think first and foremost, I'm going to challenge as we think about marriage as a part of following Christ, it starts by putting your faith in Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know yet if this is real in your life, I challenge you to respond to God's call, respond to the gospel. It starts by submitting to Jesus. If you've not come to that place in your life where you've really wrestled with your own personal brokenness, your own sin, that stuff inside of you that you just want to keep from everybody else, you got to deal with that now. Because, folks, if you're not experienced in relationships, those of us who have been in relationships, we've married, we know that stuff comes out. That brokenness inside, you know, the person that you marry, they're going to see things that nobody else will ever see. That's why we need to put our faith in Christ. We need to come before him, lay our brokenness before him. Our souls, folks, cannot be fixed by romance. That brokenness inside of us, it's not going to be fixed by finding that soulmate. It's only going to be fixed by Christ. That wholeness can only be found in Christ. So we need to seek Christ and his promises. So I challenge you, seek Christ and his promises for you. We need the work of God to redeem us. If you want to prepare yourself for dating, all right, there's good books out there you can read. Certainly there's value in that, but make sure that you are submitting yourself to Christ and allowing him to redeem you, to change you from the inside out. Prepare for dating by learning to be a disciple of Christ. So we need to find our identity in Christ. We need to prepare ourselves to be a Christ-like husband or wife. And maybe you're thinking, oh, I'm a teen or I'm college age or I'm in my 20s. Well, marriage is so far off. Why do I need to think about preparing myself to be a Christ-like husband or wife now? As someone who learned that maybe some of this the hard way, you can't wait to get married to start dealing with these things. Let's use this time wisely, folks that are single right now. Seek to be a Christ-like man, a Christ-like woman. Let God begin to transform you so that you're ready for that, those challenges that come when you're married to someone. This is another one of those ways that we can be counterculture. Instead of rushing to find that special someone to complete you, following Jesus is about seeking to be changed into the person that he calls us to be. So prepare yourself to be a Christ-like husband or wife. Instead of thinking about getting your own needs met, look to put the other person's needs first. Try to work for what's best for them. Well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Some of the basic principles of discipleship starts by, instead of trying to hold on to all the things that we want to control in our life, we need to let go of that. Jesus promises us that we find our life by losing it. That's that secret formula of being a follower of Jesus Christ. If you want to find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll find it through Jesus Christ. And especially for young people, guys and girls, the earlier you get that, the better off you're going to be, both in your life in general, but certainly in your dating and relationship life. Strive to have the attitude of Christ, who laid down his life for his bride. We don't have time to go there, but Ephesians 5:25 through 32, that's a verse passage you may want to reference. We see Paul speaking about the example that Christ gave us. He laid his life down for his bride. That's us. That's the example he gave us. So we need to surrender areas of our lives that need to be transformed. If you're not dating right now, if you're not currently in a relationship, use this time to address stuff in your life that the Spirit of God is showing you needs to get fixed. All right? The reality is that the biggest, most common challenge you will face in your marriage someday is you. It's the truth. The biggest problem you're going to face in marriage, guys and girls, if the Lord blesses you to get that far, is you. You're going to bring your sin, your issues, your struggles, your weaknesses to marriage. Use this time now to surrender those areas of your life that need to be transformed. So you're going to seek Christ. Seek Christ. We need to learn to be like Jesus as we serve others. Learn to be like Jesus if we serve others. Jesus calls us to serve. It's part of our growth process. And I mention this because if selfishness is our default mode as human beings, and I think it is. I see that in my own life. I certainly know that it's something we're working with our own children to be respectful, to be kind, and not just think of our own needs. But if selfishness is our default mode, then learning to serve is one of the primary ways that we can address that. Serving allows us opportunities to learn that joy is not found in focusing on myself. Serving Christ, even now if you're single, is an opportunity to learn that God gives us joy as I serve others, as I sacrifice. It's what a great preparation for marriage and certainly parenthood. One of the things that attracted me to my wife, my wife Katie, was her love for Jesus and her desire to serve others. If you're seeking to be faithful to God, then Christ-likeness in the form of serving is attractive to those that are also seeking Christ. Well, along with that, we need to be seeking biblical wisdom in relationships. I'm going to say more about that, but we have a real privilege being a part of a church like Terra, where we have a whole lot of other people that have been down these roads before us. So if you're a young couple, connect with somebody who's got some experience, somebody that's been married for a while. Look for those couples that may be able to give you some advice, maybe some mentoring, whether that's in a formal sense or not. One of the great values of being in a tribe is that you can connect with other people that are at different phases of life. And one of the things we intentionally do at Terra is our tribes are composed of people from all walks of life, all ages and stages. Because my wife and I, as a younger married couple, could really benefit from the experiences of someone who are empty nesters. They've been through that. So I challenge you, make sure that you are seeking that biblical wisdom that God provides, whether that's through those competent counselors, those people that can mentor you to some degree, whether it's through preaching and teaching and books. Make use of this opportunity you have right now to prepare yourself for that. Well, we want to seek Christ during relationships. Seeking Christ during a relationship. Guys and girls, we need to continue to seek the Lord during your dating relationship. And that might sound super obvious, but how many of us have found that our brain shuts off once we start dating? You know what I'm talking about? You just can't think straight. You're trying to focus at work or focus at school, and all you're thinking about is that special someone. Keep checking your phone. Have they texted yet? What have they posted? It's hard sometimes. We got to continue to seek Christ even during that relationship. Part of that is we need to be upfront with that person. Be upfront about your desire to follow Christ and your desire to bring glory to God through the relationship. You know, and I know that may sound different from what we're trained to do in our culture, but think about this. If you don't bring that up early on, when are you going to bring that up? When are you going to talk about that priority? Again, we need to be men and women, even young men and women, who walk by faith. And I want to say this. Guys, this is where we need to show leadership. Guys, you need to bring this up. You need to talk about this, especially if you're a young man and you're have an interest in that special someone, that girl. You need to make sure that you're mentioning this. This is my desire to honor God in this relationship. If you don't do it early on, you're going to regret it. Guys, make sure we step up in this way. I think most girls would be glad for us to say these things. The same holds true for the ladies. If a guy from Terra wants to date you, then he needs to have the courage to say these things and stick with it. And if he doesn't say these things, you say them and see how he responds to that. Be upfront about your desire to follow Christ and bring glory to God. And continue to apply the gospel to those areas of your life that need it as God continues to reveal sin in your life, reveal weaknesses in your life. And I could tell you from experience, the longer you continue that relationship, the more the Lord is going to bring that to the surface. That's one of the nice things about having a wife is that you have that special someone to help you see how you really are, not who you are maybe to the rest of the world. And that's also one of the tough things about marriage is that husband or wife sees who you really are. But it is certainly a blessing. We need to recognize those areas and apply God's word to those. And as we seek Christ during relationships, I think the last thing I want to mention is we need to maintain good boundaries. Maintain good boundaries. Again, I can't say all that I need to say in today's message. We're limited here. But I want to mention that. As you seek Christ, make sure you maintain those good boundaries. It's one thing to talk about honoring God in your relationship. The challenge is to do it. Guys, this is another area we need to show leadership. Talking about boundaries as far as the time we're going to spend together. The physical limits on our relationship. We're going to remain pure and respect God's plan for our lives. Well, the next principle I want to challenge us with is this idea of being able to see clearly in the early phases of relationships. The reality is we need to be, especially when we're in those early phases, we need to have a degree of objectivity. This probably doesn't sound real romantic, but think about that. Often as we get involved in relationships, the excitement, the emotions that come out, all those things that are just wonderful. I still look back to the joy I had when my phone buzzed and there was a text or a message from my wife or my girlfriend at that time. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now when my phone rings and buzzes, I think, oh no, what do I got? I got to stop by and pick up milk or eggs or groceries or one of the kids broke something. You know how it goes. Early on, it's just so exciting. It's a wonderful thing. If you've been there, you understand that. But one of the toughest parts of dating, especially when in those early phases, is that the feelings you have for each other are just so powerful that it can be hard to see clearly. And that's an important piece of dating. Oftentimes, you know, especially in counseling situations, we ask someone, well, how did you get involved in this with this person? Or he or she seems totally wrong. It's got so many different issues. Well, it just felt so right early on. We just had such great times. And that's a challenge, to be able to seek clarity in a relationship. One of the early milestones that we can both dread and anticipate with excitement is the point when a dating couple feels the need to define the relationship, right? The dreaded DTR talk. For some of us, that's the beginning of the end. Been there a couple times, right? But others, it's just an opportunity to really find out where that person's at and see where this relationship might be heading. So how can couples have the clarity in the midst of all those emotions and all the pressures that come from the expectations that we have culturally on dating relationships? I think we all bring those expectations into our relationships. How can we have clarity? Well, I want to lay this one out here. I think, first of all, you've heard it before. Take it slow. Take it slow. If there's one thing that probably bothers me the most about how our culture views dating is this the pressure to push things and rush things. There's that pressure to have romance and intimacy. Be willing to resist the pressures that you feel to move things along. I think sometimes it just starts with trust God and don't rush ahead. Trust God and don't rush ahead. Sometimes it takes a lot of self-discipline. Like I said, we live in a culture that encourages us just to follow our feelings. Just go where your feelings lead. But we need to have faith to believe the Lord will bless us if we do things the right way. So take it slow. Trust God and don't rush ahead. Here's another piece of advice. Plan dates that are low pressure. Plan dates that are low pressure. Find activities that are less intense. Guys, if you take a girl to your cousin's wedding, like on the second date, yeah, that's a little too intense. Any kind of event where she's meeting like all your family and everyone's dressed up, yeah, that could be a little intense, could scare her off even. There's nothing wrong with just fun, casual dates that aren't too planned out and don't have to last all day or all evening. The point is, look for those opportunities to get to know one another in casual interactions. Give yourself a chance to see him in social situations. How's this person treat other people? Spend time together with friends or other couples that are trying to live out their faith. You know, one of the things I can say is if you're a dating couple is find other people that want to live for Christ and hang out with them. That's not to say you can't be with people that maybe don't know Christ like you know him, but I think you're going to find real value in spending time with that person that you're pursuing with other people that are pursuing Christ. Gives you some perspective. And along with that, like I mentioned, there's a lot of people here at Terra Nova that could help you in that area. Maybe just give you some feedback. You know, maybe if you're spending time with another couple that's been together for a while, maybe you can go back to them and say, hey, what do you think? How's any impressions so far? Any feedback? I would encourage you to take advantage of what the Lord has given you here through our church family. I want to say avoid situations that raise the temperatures too soon. Again, this is not something that you'll hear in culture. You're going to hear the opposite. You know, we think it's wise to make sure we're not putting ourselves in situations where we're going to be tempted to push past physical boundaries and get involved sexually. The reality is that in a lot of ways, the couple spend their time together may very well be culturally acceptable, but they can be way out of bounds for Christians. They're setting ourselves up to fail. Here's one example. Going away for a weekend together. I'm just going to put it out there. I just don't think it's a wise thing to find yourself in a hotel room with this person that you're dating. All right? I don't know about you, but I just don't trust myself in that situation. Be careful of that. Sharing a tent with someone way out in the woods. There's just things that we can do in practical ways that can put ourselves at risk. Avoid situations that raise that temperature too soon. Relationships heat up too quickly and frankly can get overcooked when we put ourselves in places where emotional and sexual intimacy gets placed on the fast track. Take it for what it's worth. So take it slow. Another thing we need to do is we try to seek clarity in a relationship as we're trying to really be prayerful. Is this person the right person for me? Is this a healthy person for me? Is this a good fit? One of the things we want to do is make sure we delay intimacy. Delay intimacy and establish boundaries, which again, that's not the message we hear from culture. Maybe that's not what we're used to. Commit to become friends first before you become lovers. Yeah, that sounds a little bit corny, but lovers don't always think clearly. All right? Commit to become friends first. How valuable it will be for a couple to learn to love and respect the other person as a friend before they're just totally enveloped in the intensity of a serious relationship. Commit to become friends. Avoid too much time alone, especially early in the relationship. And again, this may sound corny. I know I'm one of those old married guys now, but I speak from experience. This goes back to my previous comments. The value of, there is value in spending one-on-one time together. Certainly, you need to do that. But you need to have a balanced diet. If all your dates are just always by yourself, that's probably a red flag. In fact, if that guy that you're dating, ladies, if he never wants to hang out with anybody else, he always wants to be with you by himself, you're really not going to get a good feel for how well he handles himself in social situations. You got to make sure this is a guy that you're going to respect and be able to work with. So think about that. Don't spend too much time alone, especially early in those relationships. Take it slow. Seek friends to help you. To help keep you accountable. Again, I don't have much time to say enough about this, but I think every couple whose relationship has progressed to the point where you're thinking possibly about marriage, like marriage may be on the horizon, I really think you ought to seek out someone, another couple, that could give you some kind of feedback, mentor you to some degree or another, even if it's not in a formal way. I don't think I can overstate the value of having respected people in your life who can speak into you about just wisdom about dating and relationships, who can give you that feedback. I think it's something that you really want to pursue. Last thing I want to mention here is we try to seek clarity. We want to strive to handle conflicts in the right way, in healthy ways. Again, this is a whole Sunday morning sermon in and of itself. We want to strive to handle conflicts in healthy ways. Conflict is going to come up. That there's no way of getting around that. Sometimes early in relationships, we want to avoid conflicts, right? It's like, yeah, oh, sure, I don't mind. Yeah, I'd love to putt-putt golf again. That sounds like fun. You know how it goes if you've been in those dating relationships. You know, you don't want the conflict. But the reality is conflict is bound to happen. Sometimes we try to avoid it. Sometimes we can be passive-aggressive, trying to get our needs met because we don't have the courage to speak up to share how we're really feeling. But the point is, we need to make sure that we are talking through things, being assertive. This is where I stand on this issue. This is my thoughts, my feelings. And then when conflicts arise, we need to be able to talk through them in ways that are respectful, ways that are honor God. And again, I can't go enough into this area. But as we look to seek clarity in our relationship, we need to communicate. Communication. And you know, communication sometimes comes really easy in those early phases of a dating relationship because you're just having fun, you're going on these dates all the time. But then as time progresses and as you get to know who one another and who you really are, yeah, conflict arises. And that's not something we have to run from, but make sure we see that, especially if you're new to dating, maybe if you're a little bit younger. Don't be intimidated by that. See those as opportunities to honor God, see opportunities to to really work together through an issue and grow together. Well, the goal of seeking clarity is so important because it's so we can make decisions that need to be made, even when they're really hard. Sometimes honoring God and loving that other person means that you need to make that tough call to hit pause on the relationship. Sometimes we even make that really tough decision to end that relationship and move on. At this point, I want to focus a little bit about some of the parts of dating that are truly a blessing from God. As we talk about this need to seek Christ, to seek clarity, I want to talk about how great it is to pursue that other person, pursue that special someone, and to be pursued. I think one of the things we want to talk about is this morning is we need to seek to captivate. That is a good thing. God created you to enjoy that person that you're dating, that person maybe if you're married this morning, he created you to enjoy that person, especially during those early times when a couple is discovering each other and experiencing the flood of feelings that come with emotional and physical attraction. These are good things. These are all good things. The Lord wants us to be captivated by one another. And I use that word captivated over the word romance because romance is just kind of stale. And it's certainly been commercialized. There is something richer about the idea of captivation. We see it in the poetry of the Old Testament book, Song of Songs. And you don't need to turn there. So I'm just going to read it just for the sake of time. But the author, we think probably Solomon, penned this. This is really a set of poems that he wrote about this woman that he was dating, this wife, would soon to become his wife. Let me just read this for you real quickly. "You have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon." And I share this passage because it's a beautiful passage about how beautiful love is, how God created that for us to enjoy. But I mention that because oftentimes some preachers or teachers have left some of us with the idea that the passions and the emotions that flow out of attraction for one another are a bad thing, and that is not the case. They're a good thing. God has made us to be captivated by that other person. He's made us to seek to be captivated and to captivate one another. So how do we do that? As we seek to captivate each other, that we need to begin with the end in mind. Before you set out to pursue that special someone to kindle those passions within his or her heart, I challenge you, think long and hard about whether this relationship has a future. Again, our culture, we live in a culture where you just play the game. Dating is about all those passions and attraction, and if that's the person you stay with or not stay with, that doesn't really matter. It's just the game. It's the way we do things. And as I said, the Lord created men and women for something different than that. He's called us something higher than that. He's called us to this beautiful thing called marriage. So I say as we seek to captivate each other, as we seek to have that romance, Don't mess with someone's heart unless you're prepared for where the relationship's going. And that's something you've already learned in your life, but if you're younger and you haven't quite gotten that yet, listen to that this morning. Don't play with someone's heart unless you have some degree of confidence, you know where this relationship's going. That doesn't mean you have to have it all figured out. But if you know this person is not someone you want to be with, why would you play that game? I don't think it honors Christ. Have the respect for someone to be honest with yourself before you start something that you're not prepared to finish. Guys, I'm going to pick on us because I'm a guy. I know how things can go sometimes. But we can really hurt our sisters in Christ in this way. Don't give young ladies these strong vibes that she's the greatest thing since sliced bread if you don't think that she really truly is. That's not what's in your heart. Don't do that. We need to captivate with integrity. Captivate with integrity. If we're honest, we all like to be liked, don't we? We all like to be liked. That's why getting those text messages from that special someone just makes our hearts skip. Just it's a good thing. But we can fall in the trap of doing things to get another person's attention and affection. Be careful you don't say things just to play on someone's heartstrings. That it isn't fair, and it doesn't show the love and respect that we owe our brothers and sisters in Christ. Instead, save those special times for that special person. And again, you don't have to have it all figured out that you're going to marry this person before you ask them out on the first date. That's why it's so important to take that slow. We don't have to go places with that person and then have all these regrets because it didn't work out. Let's make sure we captivate with integrity. At some point, you must be honest with that person about how you're really feeling. All the passion and emotions of relationships are wonderful, but we need to navigate this part of dating with wisdom and integrity. As you pursue that guy or girl to win their heart, you need to do so in ways that honor God and respect him and her, or him or her, say. That's, again, that's a little counterculture. That's probably not how we were accustomed to viewing dating. Let's make sure we honor God in all the ways that we pursue that special someone. So what's next? As we're pursuing them, as we're captivating and being captivated, as we enjoy all that goes along with that process, the challenge is to make sure that this relationship is going in the right direction. In fact, a couple can find that their relationship can languish and even get unhealthy if they don't grow beyond that initial phase of just all the excitement and attraction, the Twitter-pation. You can tell I have children. I just read Bambi not too long ago. All the things that go on in the hearts of someone when they meet that special somebody. As members of the body of Christ, Christian couples would be wise to recognize those resources that are available in the church. So I want to challenge us to seek community. Seek community. Maybe you never thought about dating like that, but as you are navigating your dating life, make sure you're seeking the community that you have right here within our church family. Don't date in isolation. Don't date in isolation, all right? Maybe you never thought of it like that, but how many times do we connect with someone maybe outside of our group of friends or outside of our church family? Maybe we meet them at work or school, and we are dating them, but we don't have really the benefit of having other people giving us input into that relationship. See the blessings of being part of a church family. There's so much value to having friends from your tribe or friends from maybe you met a Poema event or a Mago event, or you met serving here at Terra. Maybe it'll just be in the form of having other people to hang out with you, but maybe you might find those people that can actually speak wisdom into your relationship, can give you feedback. So I challenge you to seek community. As you do that, one of the ways you do that is by worshiping together. I want to say, especially to young couples, if you're dating, you need to be here in church. If that person's not willing to be a part of a church like Terra, maybe that person is already involved in another church. I understand that, but if that person is not, then you need to make sure that person wants to worship with you. Does that person know Christ? Does that person have that same faith in Jesus as you do? You got to be able to worship together. If he or she doesn't know Christ, hasn't put his faith in Christ, doesn't have that same desire to seek and live for him, you're setting yourself up for a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. It's a relationship that's going to be built on a weak foundation. You need to be able to worship together. I challenge you as you're in this dating relationship to even think about serving together. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the same ministry team. That doesn't always work out, but if you need to be serving during that relationship, and he or she needs to be serving too, because again, if you want to find out how to live selflessly, it begins with serving the body of Christ, showing God's love in practical ways through ministries that the Lord may have given you. And you want to be able to grow together. As you seek community, make sure you're growing together. For some of you, might be in the same tribe. It might be growing together as you're coming here on a Sunday morning, might be growing together as you're studying God's word, reading books together. But make sure you're using that opportunity to grow together. Allow people to speak into your relationship. Well, as the two of you are seeking to know Jesus and to love him more, your relationship should begin to have depth beyond all those wonderful emotions that go along with that early phase of attraction. As you work through conflict and try to find ways to communicate, you'll begin to see whether the two of you are ready for the long haul. And eventually, couples need to be asking those big questions and making those big decisions. Could we really see ourselves married? are ready to take those next steps. So if dating really is for a Christian needs to be seen within God's design for us to be married, all right, if that's where the scriptures are leading us, where God's word is teaching us that he's preparing us for that wonderful blessing of marriage, if that's where this relationship's going, then we need to be thinking about that. Are we ready to make that commitment? Again, I don't see how we can just have dating for the sake of dating, recreational dating as a Christian. We need to show love to the other person, to respect them, not just to use them for the fun and fulfillment they give us in the moment. So we need to seek commitment. One of the verses that comes to mind is comes out of Proverbs, the Proverbs in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 18 in the 22nd verse, the writer says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor for the Lord." As I shared at the beginning, a discussion about dating can't leave out marriage. For the follower of Christ, this is where dating is heading, whether you're ready for that yet at this phase in your life or it's something that's still a long way off. We need to be thinking about that. Well, how do we seek that commitment? How do we know we're ready to seek that commitment? Well, I think really it starts with prayer. Praying for God's leading. And I don't mean necessarily that the two of you got to be spending long hours of prayer together. That could get weird. But there should be a place where you're praying together, but I think the most amount of time that you need to be spending is praying even by yourself, asking God to give you wisdom. Ask the Lord to show you, is this relationship heading the right way? And have I been honoring you, Lord, in the midst of this relationship? Is this a person that is heading the same direction that I'm heading? You know, sometimes there's good, godly men and women that we may date, and even to the point where it becomes fairly serious, but we have to make tough decisions sometimes that this just is not really a good fit. All right, sometimes there might be some of those situations where we need to be honest with each other. You know, maybe in some ways we have some of the same desires and our lives seem to be heading the same direction, but I just don't know that this is where the Lord is leading us. Sometimes that may happen. That's why we need to be on our knees before God in this relationship. Folks, if dating needs to happen within the context of following Christ, as a disciple of Christ, then certainly we need to date by faith. Dating by faith. It doesn't sound probably what we normally think of dating, but we need to be men and women who are praying through that. If you're not ready to surrender your relationship to him now, when will you be ready? When will you be ready? Pray for God's leading. Make time for those honest conversations about the future. And this can be a very scary conversation to have. However, there comes a time in a relationship within the two of you must be honest with yourselves and with each other. Why continue to invest so much in a relationship if you just don't have that clarity from the Lord, don't have that confidence that this is what he's bringing about in your life, if this is where it should go. And lastly, you need to come to that decision. Come to that decision. The two of you will need to make a decision about whether you are ready to commit to this journey together, to pursue marriage. Again, we often see these relationships, dating relationships, in terms of the romance novels, the movies we watch, the music we listen to, where in some cases very idealistic, all the wonderful things that go along with romance. But at the end of the day, it is truly a journey together. We need to be thinking about that. Is this person going to be that partner that can walk along with me? Am I willing to serve him or her? To serve him or her with all their weaknesses, all the weaknesses they bring, all the weaknesses I bring. Two sinners in need of a Savior coming together. That's the journey we've been called to together. Well, as we close today, I want to bring us back to where we began. Dating is one more area of our lives that we must submit to the rule and reign of our Savior. I know that doesn't sound all that much like what we've grown up hearing. Whether we like it or not, this is all this, the parts about dating that we're used to hearing may not all be in line with what God has called us to, how God has called us to live. My challenge for you, for those of you who are dating, is that I hope, or for those of you that hope to date someday, is that you will commit to see dating as something you do as a disciple of Jesus Christ. As you grow in your knowledge and your love for him, may he give you the wisdom to navigate all the challenges of dating in ways that honor him, in ways that show respect and love for your brother and sister in Christ. In the end, that is our calling, to follow Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you follow him in your dating relationships. If you'll pray with me. Our Father, we come back to that passage that we read at the beginning. Lord, that we have been made male and female. We've been made with our beautiful differences to come back together in a wonderful relationship. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we come humbly to this subject of dating, the subject of marriage, because we know they are fun, they're enjoyable, Lord. You've made these things for us to enjoy, but they are challenging and difficult, Lord. In many ways, these relationships, marriage, are the things that you're going to use most to make us more like you. So, Lord, we commit this to your name this morning. Thank you, Jesus.